I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And it's the Billboard Sharpie podcast. Really excited to have broadcasting legend, both here in New York and nationally, Kid Kelly with us this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, Kid.
Nice
how
to
are
see
you,
Gary.
Absolutely. VP Music Programming, Sirius XM.
Correct.
You were just saying before we started, you're on the radio on Sirius XM, but podcasts, you don't do a lot of podcasts, but you like the podcast format.
I don't do a lot of interviews. The podcast I find interesting because it's kind of like my native habitat, if you will. And I think you get a better sense and a better interview, and it's more intimate and personal. I think people are more sincere in this type of an environment, for the most part, at least in my world.
Right.
I think, in general, interviews have become very corporate. They've got layers in there, and people kind of aren't perhaps as honest and or sincere about themselves.
Right. Yeah, everyone has something.
And there's a lot of corporate gobbledygook that's spewed in there.
Or you have something to promote, so it sort of goes in that direction.
You were nice
enough
to invite me here, so I'll just be me and tell you the straight scoop.
Perfect. I've been a fan of yours for a long time.
Oh, nice of you. Thank you.
I used to play Backtracks USA.
Get out.
On Mix, back then, Mix 98.5 in Boston.
Wow, thank you.
I've followed you for a while. Not that either of us are old. We're both we're
not
both
at
young.
All.
But I wanted to talk about your background because you've got a great background at Z100 over the years and then going to Sirius XM. So we'll get into all that. But tell everyone what you do at Sirius XM as VP Music Programming.
As VP of Music Programming for Sirius XM, I run our two big top 40 stations, Hits 1 and Venus. Hits 1 is more mainstream and Venus is more rhythmic pop. And then I oversee about 18 other channels, which might sound like it's a big task, but it's not because I've got some great folks on every level.
Are they all pop channels? Are they related?
All pop channels,
to pop?
Yeah, yeah.
What are some of the other channels?
Well, there's Poptropolis, there's Pulse, there's Blend, there's the Love Channels, there's 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, Pop 2K. We got a bunch of them, but they're all pop, and every one of them... has some of the finest folks attached to him, so it makes me proud.
One of the things we've talked about and you hear about Sirius XM that's different from terrestrial radio is people subscribe, so you sort of have a different level of trust with the listeners. They're paying you to get the product. Does that change your thinking at all when you're programming these channels, or does it always come back to, even if I were on terrestrial radio where people aren't paying, I want to play the best music, I want to play the hits?
It's a great question. My mindset has never changed. To me, any of the success or fair amount of success I've ever had in my life had to come down to one thing, the listener and or the subscriber, period. And, you know, if you're a subscriber, you're still listening, so the listener. You know, and I've always operated under the mindset that you should never break the unwritten rule with the listener. And the unwritten rule is trust. No pun intended.
That's a good word. I like that word.
And that rule is very basic. The word curation makes me chuckle because we've all been curating our entire career as individuals. Anybody who's potentially succeeded has kind of curated their own career, every part of it. So when it comes to the right songs, I never like to put a song, and I'm very proud of myself, that most of my career, I've never given in to putting a song on the radio for an audience that had political motivation behind it. As the arbiter of the audience that I believe that I know really well, because I study them and I analyze them, and on the weekends I continue to study and analyze them and try to get them, try to know what makes them tick, their nuances. You know, if you know your audience, then you kind of know what they're looking for. And it doesn't mean the same thing. You want to, of course, surprise them at times.
Right.
But, you know, the unwritten law, the unwritten rule, the unspoken law has always been don't do something that for the audience that you don't think they'll really be into, because then you break that promise.
And when you say political, do you mean if a label is pushing something that you think...
I would never put a song on the radio that was motivated by, hey, you're going to do our show.
Okay, right.
Just wouldn't do it. If, as an arbiter of the audience, if I didn't feel the song would be liked by the audience, or anything on the radio station would be liked at the least and loved, hopefully, at the best. You know, on a bad day, meet expectations. On a good day, exceed expectations. Yeah. I wouldn't do it. And that's every single part of the radio station, from the on-air DJs to the music to the stuff between the music to the contest, everything else. And I've always held myself to that standard, and it's been most of the times in my career worked. There were times it didn't, where I was deemed as a problem, perhaps, or not a team player, mm-hmm. or whatever. But my sole motivation was always for the audience, even as a DJ.
Where did that come from? That come from a radio listener? That's what you expected from the radio stations you listened to?
Likely. I never psychoanalyzed that, but likely, you know, when I was inspired to get in radio, I was perhaps like you, inspired by other folks on the radio, and inspired by not knowing then that they were building community and creating brands and stuff. I wasn't, you know, at my age, I didn't process that. I just knew that I liked listening to that particular channel, and that particular channel was, quote, one of my best friends.
Right. And you grew up in Brooklyn, right?
Bensonhurst and Canarsie.
So was it Z100, or was Z100 not on the air yet?
Z100 wasn't quite on the air yet.
Okay.
Z100 signed on about 6 months into my radio career. I was inspired mostly by 99X, WXLO.
Right.
And a little AM station called 97DJ in Hackensack.
Ah.
The little engine that could. Sadly, it didn't, but it sounded like it could. And, of course, I listened to the big stations at the time, and there weren't very many choices back then. It's not that long ago either. You know, we're only going back like 25, 28, 30 years.
Right.
You know, which I guess a lot has changed since then. But it wasn't, relatively speaking, from a timeline that long ago.
Right. Oh, technology just the last 10 years alone.
Right. Even 5 years, right?
Yeah.
So I was inspired by those type of radio stations, and I felt like not only the radio station DJs were like kind of my friends, I felt like I kind of knew them, but I also felt like the radio station got me. They were playing songs for me and talking to me and doing contests that I would like. You know, so I was motivated then, and I thought, well, it was probably there were probably some corporate politics involved back then, probably not as much, especially since I was kind of weaned on FM, and I think FM back then meant find me.
Yeah.
You know, right. Whereas opposed to, I think the AM stations were still big back then, and they were the money makers, so people just threw the FM away.
Right.
You know, hey, you can have this FM license now. What do we do with it? Right. I don't know. Just give it to those ragtag, give it to the group over there. Who knows? Who cares? It doesn't make any money.
Those progressive FM broadcasters.
Those progressive broadcasters with those ragtag, scrappy top 40 DJs that looked like they hadn't slept in weeks, but on the air knew how to entertain and speak to a person in an entertaining way. Not like today. The output has come way down today.
Not a fan of today's radio spots?
I got to tell you, no. And I mean that respectfully, because I think there are a lot of fun, smart, good people in that. But I don't know that they're allowed to do what I think they can or should. Or some of them still do. There are still some fine stations out there. But those are the people that don't succumb to the cram down.
Is it shorter listening attention span or more commercials? What's the difference now? What are you hearing that you don't like?
I'm hearing what I consider to be appliances that oscillate songs. Period. You know, when digital media comes around and, you know, 15-year-olds don't know the big, powerful radio stations in your city and, most importantly, don't care.
Right.
There's a massive problem going on. And if they gravitate to these other areas that just oscillate songs, and then you, as somebody who has the power to either go with that or go completely the opposite way and become more engaging and more endearing and more entertaining and more whatever it is as a companion, that's the way to go.
So you're saying in an era where kids, younger audiences are growing up just playing their own music on streaming services, maybe with no DJs at all, you're saying let's combat that with bringing back big personalities.
Absolutely. Somewhere along the lines, and I don't understand this, you know, somewhere along the lines, in my opinion, air talent has become non-essential to the radio station in most instances, not in all.
Well, there's been a lot of cuts, and part of that is financially driven, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, consolidation didn't help, deregulation didn't help, but that's a whole other conversation probably. You know,
you also had, with that consolidation, a lot of overnight jobs, a lot of night jobs where DJs would start and hone their skills. Those have been eliminated, so that's got to be part of it too.
That was a mistake, but that's already been determined that it was a mistake, but yet nobody's really stepped up to fix it, which is a, you know, which is interesting.
But SiriusXM is very personality driven,
absolutely,
and very successful.
By design.
How did we can go through your career? But when you joined SiriusXM, this is how long ago was this, kid?
13 and a half years ago.
So this is 2002, 2003, somewhere around there.
Around there.
This was still when Sirius and XM were separate companies.
This is when, in my opinion, Sirius was pronounced either Cirrus or Cyrios, because nobody knew it really existed. Nobody really cared. Nobody cared enough to actually learn how to pronounce the name of the...
Right. So it was... You're going into this job at that point not really knowing if this company is going to last in 6 months or if it's going to become anything.
Correct. Big risk, big reward. Actually, turned the job down the first time. It was kindly offered to me. Radio has, in my opinion, you know, been on the wrong trajectory for quite a while. Maybe close to 20 years. I guess we could home in around 15.
Which again goes back to deregulation about 20
years. Consolidation, and hey, you're the channel that does this, and you're the channel that does that, and you're the channel that does this, and we're all going to be one giant radio station, which, you know, is understandable, but you also then lose your identity. You lose the competitive spirit. You lose the people who want to create, the artists. An artist is an artist. An artist will paint and do their craft regardless. If it's not going to be with you, it's going to be with somebody else.
Right.
And a true artist doesn't really care if it's on the biggest platform or no platform. They just have this desire, this intrinsic drive to do what they do.
Sorry.
To do what they do. And probably closer to 20 years ago, that artistry has been forced out for whatever reasons, whether it be economic or, hey, that takes too much to manage you, or, hey, our program manager now doesn't know how to manage air talent because they never were air talent.
Or someone is overseeing a bunch of stations and can't
and there's absolutely no time.
Absolutely. To pick the hits.
It's no one real thing. And again, it's not a slam towards radio. I love radio. It's the only thing I've ever wanted to do. If there was no radio, I don't know what I would do. You know, which has been my blessing and my curse. It really, truly is. You know,
it's worked out so far.
I guess. Thank you. You know, I can't complain. I've had an incredible life and a blessed life. It didn't start out that way. It was you know, people look in and they say, "Hey, you know, I either like that DJ or don't like that DJ." It's a subjective thing. You know, as a night jock, when you were referring to, and thank you for that, by the way, people either loved what I did or hated what I did, which I thought was good.
At least
love me, hate me, but know
yeah,
me.
Yeah, at least you're making an impression.
And back then in the recall game, before electronic monitoring came by, it was all based on recall, so it was, in my mind, love me, hate me, or know me. you know, hopefully love me and know me, because that was, you know, important to, you know, success, because back then that's, again, how it was rated. But, you know, the radio for me, like I say, blessing and curse, it's pretty much the only thing I ever wanted to do. I suppose there was a flash in my life where I wanted to be a wrestler. I think everybody wanted to potentially be a wrestler at one point because it was so flamboyant.
In the 80s.
Yeah. And maybe for a split second, hey, I want to learn to play guitar because that would be kind of cool. I could be a rock star. But, you know, I think those are the, you know, and for a split moment, maybe I wanted to be a cop as well. And I was called to be a police officer. When I told my parents I wanted to be a DJ, I was about six. And they're like, great, follow your dreams. And then, like, you're 13, what do you want to do? I want to be a DJ. Great, follow your dreams. And then you're 15, what do you want to do? I want to be a DJ. Yeah, listen, that's a great thought. But, you know, in the real world, you kind of got to have a real job. And by the way, they were right to say that.
Yeah.
You know, they were looking out. And then I'm 17, and I want to be a DJ. And they're like, what? You're crazy. You're bohemian. You're nuts. Get out. You know, so... my radio career pretty much started, you know, that way. I was not too far out of high school, working for minimum wage for a radio station that I was lucky enough to get a start at in Willimantic, Connecticut. My first radio job paid me minimum wage. I took a bus there, the Bonanza bus, from Brooklyn. Took me about 7 hours to get there as a part-timer.
That's Eastern Connecticut.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lost money. Would do my overnight quote shows, which weren't really shows. I was pretty much the only, I was competent enough to hit the most important button there was, and at that point it wasn't the microphone, it was the button for the commercials. You know, and I was willing to do it, and my two overnight shifts, because they were shifts, certainly not a show, I did the overnight show. I slept at the in the production studio.
Yeah.
I hung out at the radio station, and then did then another overnight show, and then got a bus, got on the bus back to Brooklyn, where my parents thought I was a complete and utter moron, bohemian, crazy person. Didn't understand it. What do you want to do? You want to do what? Right. That's crazy. You're throwing your life away. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I eventually get full time at this radio station. That paid $160 a week, $130 after taxes, and bounced their check every other pay period. So I was essentially living on $130 a month in an illegal apartment that had no windows. That I slept in my car for 2 weeks to save up enough money so I can have enough of a down payment for that illegal apartment.
This sounds like a totally typical radio story, by the way.
Absolutely.
As crazy as this sounds, like, oh, right, yep, that's how people start in radio.
It's how people start in radio. So, you know, coming from this type of start and then going, eventually getting hired, eventually getting the full-time slot there for $130 a month, I head to the radio station one afternoon about noon. I was on at 2. I would get there. And, again, pre-internet, you did your show prep. If you wanted to create a show and get the heck out of Willimantic, you had to be, you know, you had to, you know, brought my own little boombox radio with my own little cassettes so I can, quote, air check my show so I can perhaps get another radio job. And one day I'm walking. I park my $200 car that I bought that would break down every other day. And I park it in the parking lot, and I'm walking towards the radio station doors, the entrance to the building that the radio station was in. And I see two gentlemen arguing with each other. And as I get closer and closer, I recognize that they're arguing about the radio station.
Okay.
So one person was from the state of Connecticut, and they had put this big, bright orange sign on the door that said, do not enter, quarantine. And then the other person that they were arguing, that the other person that was there arguing was from the bank, who was there to repossess the equipment. Because the radio station was actually defaulting on their payments for the equipment that was running that all-important then button for the commercials.
Neither of these are the two people you want to see. When
not two people I want to
towards
see.
The station.
As I get closer, I see the chain, I see the orange sign, I see them arguing, and I realize that my afternoon drive, if you want to call it that, radio career is over.
Right.
And as I start to walk away, I see the sign and it says, do not enter quarantine, flea infestation.
Ah.
And as I'm walking away back to my $200 car, I continue to scratch my ankles and I go, oh, that's why I'm always so itchy.
At least you got your answer.
Got my answer. And it started with that, and then it went to 32 other radio stations. The most notable ones were in Richmond, Virginia, and then Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
Buffalo, New York still exists, KSE, KISS. And then that got me to perhaps the one that is perhaps as a DJ, the one that people most recognized by, and that was the Z100 one.
Z100! Woo! Nighthouse Parquet, dedicated to Sacred Heart Academy in Hempstead, Long Island. Yay! Thank you for liking and listening to Z100, making us number one. Kid Kelly is on. Here to vote for your high five, 1-800-242-0100. We count down New York City's five most requested songs at 9 on WHTZ.
This is, 1988?
88.
Yeah.
It took me just under 5 years to go from my car flea infestation to... being the number one night person in America based on that radio station, and the biggest break I've ever had in my life, which, you know, I got a very awkward call for the job because I never applied for it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think I would ever get it. I mean, who first of all, you know, you don't know about these type of jobs, number right. one. Number two, I never thought that I would actually get a full-time job then, which was arguably one of two of the finest pop stations at that time. Small market these days, if you ask me. I mean, you know, our Sirius XM channels just dwarf them all.
Mr. National and Outer Space at Sirius XM.
But, you know, back then, you know, it's a Saturday night. I'm up in Buffalo, and I get a call, and I don't have my answering machine on. For those of you listening, before cell phones, you had this very clunky-looking device with a little cassette in it that would record messages that you would rewind and play back. So, you know, it's a Saturday night. It's about 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. I'm getting ready to do a appearance because I was the APD MD night jock up there, and I made extra money, a lot of extra money, actually, driving to Canada because Buffalo stations were, you know, pretty listened to up in Canada back then. It was right across the creek. And the phone is ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing. And I'm like, who is calling me on a Saturday night at 9 o'clock that incessantly keeps ringing the phone because I forgot to turn the machine on? And I pick up the phone. It's like, hey, man, how you doing? This is Michael Dashgana. Listen, I really like your stuff. Do you think you're good enough to work here? I'm like, who is this? It's like, wait a minute. Wait, hang on a second. You worked here. Wait. I heard that you worked here as a part-timer. And I said, yeah, I did. And he said, you work for me? I said, yes, I did. I sent in a tape. Again, back then, before MP3s, you sent cassettes.
Right.
To program directors for jobs. When I had been in Willimantic and some of the other small, tiny towns I had been in, I would look at the trade publications to see what was available.
Right.
And I saw things in Manchester, Vermont, and Hartford, Connecticut overnights. And I was like, wow, I hope to get to Hartford overnights one of these days. That would be my dream.
Right.
You know, maybe Manchester, Vermont. Cool. You know, they actually have listeners. Maybe I'll get really paid.
No fleas.
Yes. Maybe. No fleas.
Maybe no fleas.
Or if there are fleas, maybe they'll have, like, you know, spray-on stuff that'll kill them.
Or high-class fleas.
Yes, please. High-class fleas. So I sent a tape to Manchester. I sent a tape to overnights in Hartford. I have an extra cassette. Save money. Buy 3 packs. 3 for 99 cents.
Yeah, right.
You know, sent one to then Z100 for a critique. Mr. Leonard was one of the bits that they had there. They had a lime green Pinto was one of the bits. I sent a giant lime green envelope with a cassette with a self-addressed stamped envelope in there that said, you know, Dear Mr. Radio Professional, could you please critique this cassette? I aspire to work at your radio station one day. Thank you. I get a call the next day. Come on in. I go in. I'm assuming I'm going to get an in-person critique.
Right.
Shadow Stevens, not the Hollywood Square guy, Shadow Steele these days, now actually running his own vineyard. He's a boutique wine person.
Oh, okay, right.
Says, come on in. I'm thinking I'm getting an in-house critique. He listens to my 60-second cassette, looks at me and goes, you look like a pretty decent humanoid. Here you go. And he throws a packet at me, which I still have in dot matrix print, that says how to be a Z100 DJ. And he goes, you're on this Sunday at midnight. Dot, dot, dot. Don't F it up.
Right.
And I'm like, what? Now, I'm literally like a – this was
– Yeah.
I worked at 32 different radio stations before I got hired again full-time at
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This particular radio station.
Right.
At the time, I was at my third, what I would refer to as toilet bowl radio station.
Lovingly.
Lovingly. Yeah. With affection. And Shadow goes, oh, hang on. I suppose I ought to introduce you to Scott. He walks me in and goes, hiring this guy's on at midnight. Scott just like, you know, looks up from his phone call and yeah, whatever. And turns his head. And it was like, I was like, what? Did I get hot? Who? Of course, I wasn't ready for it. I wanted to critique.
Right.
And I completely blew it and was god awful.
Once you started the job.
I did overnights twice. I was on call for a couple of months, but okay. I got to do two full overnight shows. Somebody asked me once, they sent me an email and said, hey, I came across this. Do you mind if I put it up on the internet? I'm like, yeah, whatever. Thanks. It's nice. So they're up there. To me, they were god-awful. Nothing like, you know, what I was lucky enough to develop into 4.5 years later.
Right.
Back to the initial call in Buffalo. Hey. I'm like, you work for me? I was like, yes, I did. Why didn't you work here? Why weren't you still here? I go, I wasn't very good. That's a good answer. Well, that's the truth. You know, you think you're good enough now? I don't know. It's up to you. You think you're good enough now? I don't know. It's up to you. Listen to me. You think you're good enough to work here now? Yes, sir, I think I do. I think I am. Why'd you work at so many radio stations? Blah, blah, blah. And my response was honest. To get back to yours, sir.
Right.
That's a damn good answer.
Yeah.
But send me a tick click. So I did. And that's my long, crazy story of going from sleeping in my car. I probably bored most of your listeners.
We don't have to have Scott Shannon on now. You've done the voice, so we don't even need to have him.
Man.
He's been on now.
He's Super Shan. Will always be Super Shan to me. I will go on record as saying he was my favorite program director.
Yeah.
Yes. Because he was about the listeners and the radio station and about the art with the science, no doubt about it. This art first, science follows the art.
Right.
It either backs it up or shows that it ain't working.
Right.
And you make a swift or gutsy decision. And or swift or gutsy decisions. Gutsy, you know what? I still feel that it's going to work. I still feel that this DJ or this song or this contest is going to work. Give it another day. Give it another week. A gutsy decision or a swift decision, you know? Probably should never do that again. Let's get it off. You know, so a purist, you know, as far as the art and the audience is concerned, in my opinion.
And that goes back to what you were saying before about that bond with listeners. Mm-hmm. I guess Scott was a big part of that then for you.
Looking back, yeah. Absolutely. But there's no doubt about it from a professional perspective. Right. But even as a wannabe and or somebody who was inspired by one of his best friends, you know, I had two best friends growing up. My best friend and my radio station.
Right.
You know, not a lot you can do, you know, when you're 6 or 7. You're not traveling the world. You're not meeting people. You're going, you know, it's a pretty strict life,
right.
You know, if you're brought up properly, perhaps.
Right.
So, you know, that was it. So, you know, I the sense of that coming out of the speakers, I felt that, but then I actually saw it
right.
at a relatively young age, 6 months out of high school. You know, which, you know, I look back, you know, at my career now, and I say to myself, who was looking out for me? You know, as a kid, I didn't really speak much. I couldn't even pronounce words properly. You know, I didn't really start to talk until I was 3 or 4. I remember my mom, you know, who adopted me, taught me, my stepdad, you know, taught me how to pronounce words properly. Uh-huh. I couldn't say the word bench. I would call it vench. You know, it's just amazing.
Right.
You know, how, you know, I wanted to be a DJ, didn't know how to be a DJ.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure it out. Knew what I wanted, but couldn't figure it out. So Therefore I was...
That's not uncommon, though. I mean, not just like the Howard Stern movie where people who are quiet want to be on the radio, but maybe that is some sort of a thread, because the whole interesting paradox of radio is you're being social because you're talking to millions of listeners, maybe depending on your audience, but you're also in a room talking to yourself.
Yeah, which is always very interesting, you know, which is probably why some of the best on-air personalities are kind of introverted, because they're in that room talking to themselves.
Right.
You know, with me, it probably stems back to the fact that I was a quiet fella, a lonely kid, and I probably wanted to, I never wanted the spotlight, which is going to sound odd. I was never in it for the ego. I was actually in it for the art of it, because I was inspired by not only the friendship of the original social media.
Right, right, yeah.
But by the art of how things were presented in such a efficient and succinct way, and yet in a very artistic way. They were artists. They were sonic artists. You know, so in studying that, to me, I said, wow, I really want to do that. I really want to get into that art. And I want to be the best at it. Because in my mind, you know, if you're not the best at it, why do it?
Right.
You know, be the best at what you are or don't. Whatever it is. If you're, you know, a bookbinder or a sanitation person, be the best at it. You know, if you're a basketball player or a DJ or a program director, work hard and be the best at it. Don't just do it. You know, be in it.
Yeah, people might think radio, you show up, you do a 4-hour shift, but it's all the prep, and for programming, it's as you were saying, the research, the trying to get in the heads of listeners. It's radio. It's maybe not the most physically demanding job, but a lot of mental work.
Oh, it's mentally demanding, you know. And as a program director now, I mean, I was always into the science as well, which made me an interesting character, because I think that a lot of folks are either inspired by the art and or inspired by the science, but not necessarily both.
Right.
You know, and as an artist, when I considered myself to be a DJ, which I still enjoy doing today, but I don't know that I consider myself to be a DJ. You know, as a DJ, when I was in that mindset, I lived it. I stayed completely focused on it. You know, I was on the air 4 hours a week. But the other 140 hours, and I didn't really sleep a lot, so I could pretty much say that I didn't sleep for years, you know, as a New York City nighttime DJ, because there were two competitors at that point that were playing the same songs. You had to have an edge. I didn't sleep
at all.
I stayed up, not really. Mm-mm. You know, a lot of coffee, nothing illegal. a lot of what was then Jolt Cola.
Yeah.
Before Red Bull.
Right.
That was it. You know, I didn't sleep. I can tell you, I didn't sleep for years, literally years. I can tell you for sure that on Fridays, for 2 years, I didn't sleep from a Friday night at 5 o'clock in the afternoon till Sunday night at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I stayed up the entire time.
The whole weekend.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Maybe would nod off a bit for 10 or 15 minutes, but there were massive appearances. It was a big, giant brand in the market at the time. And there were additional, you would do a show, you would do two appearances, you had to have a social life.
Right.
You know, I wanted a social life, so I didn't sleep. And I was always on the hunt for knowing what to talk about on the air that next day. So there was the art, there was the science of wanting to be there, wanting to know what was going on from an artistic standpoint. And I wanted to be the best at it, so I worked at it. I think it was that drive and that determination. You know, my father died, my blood father died about 5 years ago, and I think that's when you start to psychoanalyze yourself and say, how did I get to who I am, and
right.
Why did I get here, and how did I get to... Even little things, I broke them down. Like, you know, people would say, hey, how do you do what you do over the songs? I was like, what do you mean? It just comes naturally to me.
Right.
I don't. You mean talking in sync and with the song and pausing a split second and then having the song transition and or vocal pop up or talk around it? I couldn't figure it out. It just came natural to me. But then I thought it was natural, but it really wasn't. I saw a video once with me tapping my ear, my headphone. My left headphone. I just, you know, people are on the air.
Right.
And they have these little tweaks or blips or whatever you want to call them, where they have their own little, you know, if you haven't seen a radio person on the air, you know, they all have their unique little dances, if you will.
It's like a baseball player getting into the batter's box. All these weird things you have to do.
I don't want
to
say ticks, but I guess they're kind of ticks.
Right.
You know, so one of my ticks was to tap my ear. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. And I thought about it. And I was like, how did I, why am I? And I realized that when I was 5 years old, I wanted to go to karate school and I wanted a mini bike, right? 5 or 6. I was sent to tap dancing school with my sister for 2 years until I was old enough to say, I am not doing this anymore. You know, and, you know, tap dancing school, really? Come on. And boy, I'm really letting it out here. I would never let this out in a written interview.
You're
making me feel really comfortable, Gary. Thank you.
You talk about wrestling. You talk about radio. We're getting into tap dancing now.
And I realized, if I'm on a tangent, just say, hey, crazy tangent, shut it down. I'm cool with that. I realized that it was the tap dancing that enabled me years later to be able to dance, no pun intended, around, and I would use my finger as the tap, 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 step, step, tap, ball change, tap. And without that tapping,
So that got you to the rhythm
of the song.
To come in after.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
So that's your advice. Go tap dancing school.
That might be a good thing if you want to do that. Don't know that it's relevant these days. I find it entertaining.
The other thing I have to ask you about, because I've played your show and I've listened now, and it's more than 20 years now. You've been doing the Backtracks shows.
I have. It's coming up on 25 years.
Ah.
And not an easy thing either. You know, it's not... Broadcast anything worth having in broadcasting really requires a lot of background, really requires a lot of focus and dedication and great people around you that all have the vision and all share your vision, you know. And I've been very, like I said, I stop and I look back now and I go, and I realize that absolute pure Forrest Gump type determination, if you will. I won't be a shrimp fisherman. And people are like, yeah, sure you do. Go ahead, buddy. You know, I want to be a DJ. That's good. Go ahead. I want to be at the number one station one of these days. Yeah, good luck with that. You know, I want to have a syndicated show. Yeah, 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 sure you do. You know, I want to, you know, work for a company that distributes, you know, engaging, endearing, comedic, informative, bigger, larger than life contesting and the best music for the most engaged audiences across North America. Sure you do. Yeah, good luck with that. Backtracks, I'm at the point with the show where, you know, this could be a scoop. You know, I've done it so long that I think that I don't know much about sports. I know that sports folks retire with pride and dignity intact.
If they're lucky.
Well, if they're lucky, right. But most of them do that.
Right.
And most of the folks in sports, you see them, the iconic folks, the Ali's, the Jordans, etc.
Right.
You know, you see them doing their thing for the hour or three a week, but behind the scenes, you don't see the
right.
The determination, the grit, the basketball court at the house, the boxing ring at the house.
They say players retire not because of the games, but because of the preparation, the 3 hours of taping their ankles and
absolutely
beforehand. Right.
When I say as a DJ in New York, I didn't sleep. You know what I did during the day? I went to every single New York City Metro high school twice. There were 3,000 high schools in the New York City metropolitan area. I would get up in the morning and go to two of those high schools every day.
Right.
Before Facebook existed, get names, write them down, shake hands, do shout outs on the air, salute the school, that whole thing. I worked behind the scenes that way. As a programmer, I was at that radio station 120 hours a week. When we launched Sirius XM, or then Sirius, I was at the radio station 120, 130 hours a week. Decades into my career.
Yeah.
Just about two decades into my career. I slept under my desk for the big blackout. Remember when most of North America went out from, I think, as far west as Detroit?
Yeah.
To maybe as far south as Washington, D.C.? I stayed. I wasn't going home. Right. If I went home, I couldn't get back.
Yeah.
I'm staying.
Right.
You know, so with Backtracks, which you were nice enough to bring up, when I was lucky enough, and again, I worked hard, very hard. I wanted to be the best at my craft, and I wanted to have a competitive edge. I realized that when I have these opportunities, I have to work harder than ever to make something of it, number one. But number two, I'm lucky to have gotten the opportunity. Just because you are perhaps qualified or just because you work for it doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Right.
So, you know, I look at things and say, you know what, how lucky was I to have gotten these opportunities?
Well, you started at the right time, too. 92 or so when it started, that was like the perfect time to be the first one on the 80s nostalgia.
There were 20 different syndication companies back then about that, right? And we went to every single one of them, one at a time. They all said no. My initial thought about this was, I'm lucky enough to get to where I am. What's the next logical step? And then I was, even though I was offered jobs as program director, I actually respectfully declined the PD position in Buffalo to take the DJ position in New York City, because right. I thought to myself, I can go back to that. How many people have the shot
right.
to do that station at that time,
yeah, right.
which was arguably the high point? You had I was lucky enough to work in radio in Buffalo and obviously New York at a time where it meant a lot more than it respectfully stated does today. It was entertainment. It was just as valuable then as movies and TV, and you were a headliner. You know, some of the artists at that time that were big, Bon Jovi, you were just as important as Bon Jovi.
Right.
You were just as important as Madonna and Prince. You were just as important. So it was an interesting time back then, because I was lucky enough to be there at that point. When I was there in that DJ mode, I said, well, what's next? Because I'm not the one to kind of look back, and I don't do interviews for this reason. I don't particularly like talking about myself. Most of this has not been about, hey, look at my goals. Hey, my success. I don't really – I'm lucky.
Right. Well, you weren't – you're being humble, but you've put in the work and it's been in your blood. So it's part of that too is maybe you just don't realize all – I mean, you're saying it. I worked 120 hours here. But when you love something, you do put in those
and
hours.
It
maybe
it
doesn't feel like work.
It wasn't work to me.
Exactly.
You're right. It wasn't work. It was like, this is what I want to do with my life and my career. It wasn't a job. It was a career. Still, to this day, a career. Which is probably why I still have that passion. I still have that fire in me belly. You know, it's my career, and I want to make the difference for the listeners. Because in my mind, as an advocate of entertainment, radio entertainment, because I've been there, I see what radio can be. I still want it to be that way. I don't want it to be Morse code or dot pin matrix printers. I don't want it to be that. And, you know, I'm lucky enough and fortunate enough that the people that I work with today at SiriusXM feel the same way. And they empower me, and I thank them all for that. I'm lucky. It's, you know, I'm lucky enough to have, as you put in your initial invite, the incredible or historic, I'm not sure what you said.
It all works.
Career.
Right.
That I've had. But it's the people at the place, and it's the people who let me do my thing.
Right.
That are the valuable people. Backtracks. All I ever wanted to do was take it to the next level back then, 25-ish years ago. And that was, well, I'm lucky enough to be here at this station and be number one in this city, which makes me virtually number one across America. What's the next logical step? And that was to do a syndicated show.
Right.
So the concept was, okay, well, what can I do? What am I potentially noted for? And what is a concept? You can't – you can trademark a name, but you can't trademark a concept. So what's the concept? And the concept was, as we were merging into the music change in the early 90s, which was becoming a bit less mainstream in my
right.
opinion, but was still, quote, you know, chart music, the next logical step for me was to do a national. So I came up with developed the concept with, you know, with some good people, with some great people involved, you know, bounced some stuff off of them and said, okay, here's the concept. Syndicator 1 through 20, you can have it. You just pay me $500 a week. They all said no. And I went to them all, and representation went to them all two or three times. They all said no. It's never last. It's got no legs. Who are you? Just because you're a DJ in New York, who cares about, you know, nobody cares about you in Dubuque, Iowa, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it was all no, 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 not going to work. Never happened. Good luck with that. And Forrest Gump style, something to this. Let me syndicate myself.
Ah.
How do I do that? Really? Don't know. Guess I got to get trademarked. You know, and like I said, I'm very, very fortunate to have great people around me and my then great girlfriend, you know, not my spouse, you know, involved in... you know, this project and this vision and just with determination, I think it can be done. I'm going to do it. I'm not even saying it's that smart. You know, before we made one penny, I lost $50,000.
Starting Backtracks USA.
Lost money for 5 years.
Wow.
Might retire it this year with pride and dignity intact with a couple of hundred of affiliates still.
So that's the scoop you're saying. You might retire.
So, yeah. And I mean that with respect to the folks who syndicate it, great folks as well. But I, you know, maybe it's that time. You know, maybe it's the time to say, you know what a great run. Or maybe it's not. I don't know. But it's been in the back of my head. It's been in the back of my mind. For quite a while.
Is part of it that you can get 80s music now in so many different places, including 80s on 8 on Sirius XM?
Probably a whole different tangent here, Gary. Syndication is not what it used to be, at least weekend syndication. You know, there's certainly value to that brand, but I don't know that I can implement that value right now while I'm dedicated to Sirius XM.
So part of it is just the hours that go into it. Like you were saying, an athlete who's doing the practice, the time that goes into, because you're doing two versions, you're doing 80s and 90s now too, right?
Yeah, we launched 90s at a time when people said 90s music wouldn't work. 80s music not going to work. Nobody cares about that. And, you know, a decade later, 90s music doesn't work. Nobody cares about that. And, you know, again, great people, vision, being first doesn't hurt as well. I chuckled at, I will not mention the name of this place that launched their own 80s thing 24 years later as the first. I just chuckle. I go, okay, that's good. That's good. I'm not sure about that, but all right, if you want to put it out there that way, go ahead. But in looking back, I think the focus, the determination, the listening to your intrinsic drive 90% of the time, and perhaps keeping an open ear, you know, never want to be so headstrong that you're not open to hearing what people have to say.
Right.
You know, I don't know that I would listen to the experts, whoever they happen to be for whatever, 100% of the time. Because, you know, the experts are caught up in their machine. This is how we've done it. This is what's working. This is what we're comfortable with. Let's continue to do it. And that's when somebody comes in and disrupts and cleans your clock.
Right.
At one point, Backtracks was the on record, I think, with the Wall Street Journal and then VH1 as the breakthrough show of the millennium, of the 2000s. I mean, it was all done because none of the traditional systems that syndication folks were doing for years, where it wouldn't work and it has no legs and it's too short. I remember, right. You know, I'm arguing with a syndication company that said, you want to do a two-hour show? I said, yeah, I want to do a two-hour show. That's unheard of. Yeah, I know. I want to do a two-hour show because I want to leave the folks listening wanting more.
Right.
I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it for the entertainment value. I'm doing it for – which is, by the way, you know, I'm not doing it for the money. You know what that means? Yeah, you know, like corporate America is like, who? What? What did you just say? Huh? You know, everybody's like – and they all want to leave the boardroom.
Right.
Not doing it for the money. I got to go. See ya. You know, so, you know, every step of that, every step for of just about every facet of my fortunate career has been a lot of mindful grit and perhaps a mindless Forrest Gump type determination. Won't be that shrimp fisherman. Go and do it.
Your Forrest Gump sounds a lot like Scott Shannon.
No. I think that more like that. More like that.
I really want to thank you for coming on, sharing your stories. And, you know, for people who subscribe to SiriusXM, I think this was fun to find out who the person is behind all the pop channels. And I think, if nothing else, you've left everyone, you left me with the impression that the person who's running these stations, Hits One, Venus, all the pop stations, really has this long history of caring about the listener. And it really is that human element. It's not just a program spreadsheets. If you're listening, it really is about, you want every listener really to feel connected to what you're programming.
1,000%. Without the listener, I have no career, period. I mean, yeah, we could put a product out there, but if they are not emotionally invested in it, we have no broadcast. And there are certainly, you know, on the back end, it's a combination. The combination of art, in my mind, first, again, backed by the science, either it's working or it's not, stick with it or remove it, but make a decision. It's certainly a combination of both, but I think if you look back to not just radio, any brand.
Right.
Any brand is that vision, is that determination. Any big brand today, whether it be Seinfeld, right? It was a vision. And it didn't really get traction at first, but the vision and the determination and the Forrest Gump grit was there. Any radio station, any TV show, any movie, anything that's worth anything has that determination and that backstory and that intense focus, that relentless focus that pushes it through.
Listeners, radio, we're lucky to have you, Kit. We're lucky to have such a promoter.
But I've had an incredible life, considering how I started and came into this world and to where I am now. It sounds cliche, so I try to try not to say this, because it's a saying that's out there a lot now. But I absolutely worked hard and scratched and clawed, and I will also go on record as saying I never did this at anybody else's expense. I never threw anybody under the bus. I maintained character and integrity throughout my entire career. I dealt with the good cards and the not so good cards. And I am blessed. That's what I was. It's cliche now because everybody says they're blessed, but I truly have been blessed. If there's such a thing as a guardian angel, I think I've had one. And again, there is work involved, a lot of work and a lot of mental debilitation and a lot of sadness. You know, the first time I got yanked off of New York radio, I stayed in bed for a week.
Yeah.
The second time I got yanked out of New York City radio, I stayed in bed for 2 weeks. You know, the third time it got easier. The fourth time I was like, oh, this again? The fifth time I was like, okay, all right, whatever. I'm not coming back. Remember, if you invite me back, I'm not coming. And of course they did. So, you know, again, it sounds cliche, but I'm blessed. And thank you so much for the opportunity to hang out. I hope I didn't bore you or your listeners.
Now, this is great advice for not anyone just interested in radio, but really just a successful career, just caring about what you do and putting in the work. That's pretty good advice for anyone. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for inviting me. I'm honored. Thank you, Gary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.